once again to the show of shows, the Amazingly Average Show, and I am your host as always, Earl, joined this week by Scott.
Hello, everybody.
And Daniel.
Reporting for duty, even though I'm a little under the weather.
Which, it doesn't make any sense. He goes to California and he gets sick, even though he spent, 4 months in New York City in the winter.
Yep.
Perfectly fine the entire time. He goes out and gets the sun and he's sick.
Well.
Tisk, tisk.
Tisk, tisk, indeed. So, yes, this week we are going to do a split show. We're actually going to do this for the next few weeks. After our last show, it came out that certain people here haven't seen all the Transformers films. And since I really hate people as much as I hate myself, I figured we'd torture ourselves by actually rewatching all the Michael Bay Transformers films, not the actual animated one. So, we'll talk
about. Because that would not be punishing yourself, that would be a gift.
Yes. So. We'll talk about the first movie, and I also broke them up into movies because, honestly speaking, I can't remember them if I watched them all. Even the first one, we're recording this on Thursday, I watched it on Sunday, and I honestly can't tell you everything that happened in that movie. I couldn't imagine a month from now, after watching all four of them, trying to piece them together.
I just watched it last night, so I have a pretty good idea
of what happened.
What happened?
Well, spoilers, I'm sure there's going to be an island. No, you got to be kidding me. Yes. But before we get there, the first half of the show is actually going to be a bookend to a show that we do at the start of every TV season, when we run out of new shows and what we think has potential. This is the other end of that. We're at the point where TV shows are getting renewed, canceled, and picked up in a new season. So we're just going to kind of run through a few of those, see if there's any big surprises or anything that we're kind of on the ball about. And to kick that off, I think one that I think we were kind of all in agreement with is that all four of the time travel shows that premiered this season ended up being canceled. So,
It's almost like maybe the executives wish they could have gone into a time machine and gone back in time and canceled the shows before they started.
Dan has been working on this one and holding it in.
Yeah. I think a lot of it has to do with, or I think it's partially at least due to the fact that, you know, you can inundate TV airwaves with a lot of police dramas and medical mysteries, and people will just eat it up. And you know, there's a good chance that even though there's a lot out there, you know, they'll keep going. You know, they make new ones and they stick around. But when you have four shows that premiere and they're all related to time travel in some way, you know, there's no way that which one should people get interested in based on just the premise alone, you know? People know what they're getting into with the other things, like the police dramas, but with this other stuff, you got to be careful. You have to stand out.
And I think, and I will say this much, because the time travel show that survived, that actually didn't premiere this year, was Legends. And I think Legends suffered from this during the first season, and they realized it during the second season. Is part of the thing with time travel shows is time travel as a concept creates glaring plot holes that really is easy to take somebody out of the show. Because the number one question for anything is like, why don't you always just go back to that point and stop whatever idiotic thing you did that time from happening?
That's why I kind of like the idea for the, I think it was called Timeless, the one where there's a guy going back in time. And it's kind of the idea of Legends too, is they're trying to prevent time travel. You know, there's someone time traveling who is disrupting history, and then they have to fix it.
Yeah. But again, that kind of runs into the same problem you had with in season one, where it's a bunch of people chasing one dude, and you can't figure out where he is. Or, like, okay, to the same point, I think the first episode was around the Hindenburg crash. So why not go back a little before that and stop him from But I mean, they had a bit more nuance to it because they, you know, they prescribed to the butterfly effect. It's like you can go back, but just like preventing him may potentially, like, he, you know, time is fluid, so him being there actually caused the event that they knew, but trying to prevent him now changes history or something like that. But yes, that was time. Yes, time after time, I didn't watch. I think that was the goofiest of the four. That was the one with the Jack the Ripper goes into the future. There was Making History, which was the comedy, and there was Frequency, which isn't necessarily a time travel show, but it had time manipulation as a concept.
Right.
So yeah, those four are gone. I don't really think any big surprises there.
I mean, it's surprising that CW canceled Frequency just because, like,
the CW doesn't cancel anything.
They never cancel anything. They, you know, they've been pretty good about being loyal to their shows.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things I've said before with the CW is I think it allows them the benefit of the doubt for the out of audience where people watch shows on that network with the understanding that, like, even if it's not greatly rated, it's still going to possibly come back. Like, even though they canceled Frequency and No Tomorrow, Jane the Virgin and Crazy Ex-Girlfriend are both back, and those aren't necessarily high-rated shows. The same with, like, the originals. Actually, I think of the CW, I think those were the only two shows they canceled this year, were No Tomorrow and Frequency.
Yeah, I'm really surprised that it didn't cancel the originals. I mean, I haven't watched it in a long... Like, I watched season one of it. I actually was in, kind of, I guess, a little into Vampire Diaries for a little bit, because it was actually not bad.
Well, I watched the first two seasons, because everybody tells you about how amazing the first two seasons are. And it's really good, and then it's kind of... And this happens with a lot of CW shows. The CW has, like, this breakneck speed with their shows. And eventually, they hit a wall where, like, we've run through so many plot lines that we have to make characters really stupid or odd characters or some really goofy plot lines in, like, later seasons to keep the show going.
Yeah. And it's kind of a weird situation because unlike Supernatural, they have a really big cast and they have people starting to leave the show and they have to, like, figure out ways to write them off. Like, the main... I mean, this is more Vampire Diaries than originals, but the main character, Elena... is not on the show anymore. I mean, maybe she's back. I don't know.
Well, I mean, the show's over. She was like,
right.
But
I mean, that last season, they had to, like, work around her being off the show. And
well, yeah, she can't. Yeah. She had to go to Hollywood so that she could fawn over Vin Diesel, who's, like, twice her age. I assume neither one of you have seen the new Triple X movie.
Yeah, I saw it with you.
Oh, right. So,
I thought she was good in that. But.
Oh, no, but I mean, literally, her role was trying. It was she had the hots with Vin Diesel, who's like twice her age.
Right.
But yeah, she came back for the final episode. I have a weird tendency. Like, I stopped watching that show after this second season, and I think this was like season 7. But I have a tendency if like shows that I kind of watch are ending, I want to check it out. So I saw the finale. Had no idea what's going on.
Yeah. I'll probably watch it at some point.
And just really quickly with the CW, they also announced they picked up Black Lightning, which means they have a 5th DC TV show now on their network. And they also picked up Dynasty, which is a really interesting pickup for the CW. I was going to say, none of you remember Dynasty. I'm the oldest one here, and Dynasty's before my time. But yeah, I don't...
I mean, I know of it. I've never seen an episode of it.
Yeah, what it is, but, like, no... Like, yeah, that's the thing. It's like,
is Dynasty the one with Who Shot JR?
No, that's Dallas.
Oh, okay, well.
And Dallas was already rebooted and failed, so...
Right, yeah, I remember that. That was apparently bad.
Yeah, so I don't... The CW isn't... Because, I mean, they could do it, but... Yeah, it's an odd pickup for them. That's all I'm going to say. Okay, we might as well rip off the Band-Aid now. And I am going to say it does not happen often, but it happens from time to time. I was wrong.
You were wrong about it being a good show, or?
No, I'm not going to say that. I was wrong that apparently ABC does not care about ratings. So they renewed Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. for a fifth season. I don't know why. I mean, the numbers that show gets will make the CW blush.
I think there's a couple things. One is syndication, right? They
pass syndication.
Well, okay. But they had to get to 100 episodes. And once you already commit that much, you know, they already have the sets and everything.
Well, that's why. That's why I said once it got to season 3, it was going to season 4. I knew that much. Once it got to season 4, I figured it was done because the ratings have been in a decline. I mean, they've kind of leveled out because there's not much further to fall. And I think the other big thing was that when they announced an Inhumans show, I just assumed that that would be their show now because, I mean, there's always so much water you can get from a well that's dry. They've launched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It hasn't done great for them. They launched the spinoff Agent Carter. That did not do great for them. They're doing an Inhumans show. I'm going to assume, based off of that set picture, it's not going to do great with fans.
Yeah, it doesn't look good. But critically and with fans, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is really popular, as much as some people don't like it, but it is, okay. You know, especially...
What show doesn't have a fan base, though? What show doesn't have people who are dedicated to it? Like, we talked about Time is trended on Twitter last night because it was canceled. It has a dedicated, hardcore fan base. Most shows do.
But the general thought about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is, you know, compared to something like Powerless or...
Which is also canceled. That's all we need to say about
that. Which was canceled. But, you know, it's getting some acclaim. And they like to use it to promote their comics because they're basically doing a Secret Empire storyline, which is going to be the summer event. And, you know, there is a huge tie into Inhumans. So, obviously, I mean, this is going to be the last season.
Because as far as I can tell, the Inhumans in the movie/TV series have nothing to do with Inhumans on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I'll say this. If there is not one cameo or one crossover between Inhumans and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., then I will be upset. And then I will not understand why they kept Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But if they do, then I think it's worth it. Well, at least as a fan.
What I'm more curious about, and I, you know, hindsight being 50-50, we could have saved this until next week, is I'm curious to see what actually happens to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because they renewed it, but is it a full season or is it like a half order? Is it a...
Sure.
Do they move the night?
Yeah, it may just be 13 or something or 9.
And it might... Is it a fall show or do they move it to the spring as like a replacement show in the back half of the year? Because it's more value to them then, because that's usually, you know, it has... I mean, they don't try anymore, really. I don't know the last movie they really, really tried with. I mean, they tied in with Civil War, but that was after the movie. Like, Age of Ultron, they had a tie-in before the movie. And they had a tie-in with the Winter Soldier. And just on that Marvel note, one, Fox is making great use of the fact that they can now make X-Men TV shows. So in addition... Yeah. In addition to Legion being renewed, they also announced that FXX is getting The Gifted. And they also announced a Deadpool animated series with Donald Glover as producer with his brother.
Yeah, I mean, it just doesn't slow down. I mean, what is that, three new superhero shows next year? And
there's also Cloak and Dagger on Freefall.
Oh, and Runaways.
And Runaways, yeah. Hulu. And that's not...
Defenders.
Defenders. I actually made a list of this because, like, for within the next year or so, I mean, not necessarily right away, you have Defenders, Inhumans, Cloak and Dagger, Runaways, What else did we talk about? You'll have Black Lightning.
All the CW, yeah.
You'll have Black Lightning. You'll have Krypton, which was announced to be picked up. You'll have Titans. Yeah. You'll have the Return of Young Justice. Yeah, there's a lot of...
I don't know about that Titans show.
Well, we don't know anything about it, so we can't say anything yet.
Well, I don't know that it'll end up happening, but even
it's
still,
end
like
up happening.
Well, I mean, because they do want this push with the digital. Yeah. It's just, I mean, it's awesome for us. You know, it's hard to keep up with everything.
At some point,
I mean, if you don't like with Gotham, like we really enjoy that show. It's not. You don't have to watch it, but
I watch them.
Yeah,
that's why
you don't have to watch everything, though.
That's
did you watch every episode of Powerless?
I watched enough of Powerless to know I didn't need to watch Powerless. But that's okay. What I mean. That's what I mean. I do check these shows out,
sure,
to figure out. And like I'm not saying, you know, I get this reputation for one of everything DC does, which isn't true. But I do try to check out everything that's out there. And, you know, for the most part, I enjoy most of the stuff out there. There's, you know, I'm not huge on Preacher. I think that's the one. Preacher and Legion are the ones that I think are critically acclaimed that I don't necessarily care for. The rest of the stuff, I think I've kind of... I didn't call it. I didn't much care for Constantine. I thought Constantine was a... It was one of those shows where it's reversed from the usual problems, where I thought the actors were great in the roles, but the show itself is terrible.
Thing we didn't talk about is, I don't know, does American Gods count as a comic?
It does.
Not really. Does?
I mean,
okay.
It counts in the same way that like Lucifer does or iZombie.
And also, American Gods, if it does well, I think they've said that they want to do Sandman, so.
Yeah, and there was Scalp that was in production, but that's a weird situation now, mm-hmm. because the network that Scalp was on, WGN America, announced that they're no longer doing scripted dramas. So they started production of the show. The TV channel was like, yeah, we're no longer doing these
And
things.
What about Preacher? Is Preacher still on?
Preacher, I didn't include it because season 2 doesn't start until June. So we don't necessarily... we don't know if it's going to be renewed, but I assume so.
And then Legion, I'm assuming, will get renewed, right?
I think Legion was already renewed, yeah. Oh, they announced the Judge Dredd TV show.
Yeah, I mean, it's really... insane right now. I mean, it's clearly at some point gonna start going down again.
Well, here's the thing, and this is what the fascinating thing, and I'm not just gonna beat up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. here, I'm gonna beat up on most of them, is that there are a ton of comic book shows out right now, but none of them do what I would call amazing numbers outside of The Walking Dead. Like, for the first two seasons, Gotham did great. This season's kind of more in line with the... It's Gotham's still on the high end. It's Gotham, Flash, and Lucifer as the top three. But those are all within margins of error of each other. But most of these shows, even with, like, you know, Marvel, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., fans, apps, numbers, most of these shows don't do more than 5 or 6 million people in a week. Compared to... And, you know, TV's changing and this, that, and the third. But, yeah, none of these shows are, like, huge rating getters. So it's weird.
Yeah, but, you know, I think ratings overall are going down. And they're looking at, we want to have shows that we can sell to Netflix later, that we can, you know, license out to Hulu. And
yeah, and Brandon helps with that. You know.
Yeah, Brandon's, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think that
definitely plays a huge role in it. The ultimately giving it over to Netflix, like putting it on Netflix, because a lot of people that I talk to don't even watch regular TV, and I'm not saying that accounts for all of the declining viewership of shows, but it definitely hasn't helped, and it's probably a trend that's going to continue. So. Yeah.
Oh yeah. It's a generation of, you know, like cord cutters, as they say. But the other thing, and this is, I was actually thinking about this earlier today with, I forgot what show was, I think it might have been Dynasty, is that we are also in an era of highly specialized TV. Like, you mm-hmm. don't make four quadrant shows anymore. Like, you make, you know, you'll make shows that's catered to a female audience. You'll make shows catered to a male audience. You'll make shows catered to kids and families. You don't try to make an all-encompassing show anymore. There are very few shows, I think, that are like, okay, we're for everybody. They feel very highly specialized. And I think part of that is Netflix, in the sense that, like, mm-hmm. okay, you know, like, it's no longer like one TV in a household and everybody sits around Friday night. It's like, I got a TV, my roommate got a TV, this roommate has a TV, you watch something at work, you watch it on your commute or whatever. So you cater to everybody's taste,
right.
Which means that there's a ton of shows, and there are very few that break through as something special.
And I think part of it... sense. I think part of it is I think we've talked about this before, but there's more opportunities to sell shows now because, you know, as you mentioned, Runaways is Hulu, right? And then Cloak and Dagger is ABC Family or whatever, Freeform. And, you know, Netflix has Defender. So and HBO.
DC's thing.
Yeah, DC has their digital. So
Sci-fi.
It's not you don't. Yeah, and you don't have to just sell to the main four networks.
Yeah, and with that, you also don't have to, like, the main four networks have, you know, the you have. I think like Fox has like 12 hours of primetime TV a week. NBC and ABC has like 16 or something like that. So there's only so many hours in the day, and you don't necessarily just want dramas.
Mm-hmm.
And the other
so was there. Well, okay. So I was just going to ask, like, overall, were there any major surprises in terms of what got canceled that you didn't think would get canceled?
Yeah. I think the biggest one, and it's probably not anything any of us would think of, was...
Son of Zorn.
No, I think Son of Zorn as... I think I said Son of Zorn. But I was going to say Last Man Standing. Because it actually does pretty decent for ABC on Fridays.
Huh.
I assume most people probably don't watch it or care about it. I don't, but I'm a numbers guy. I look at the numbers and I see that it's been a consistent producer for 6 seasons. And
yeah, sitcoms usually are pretty cheap to. I mean, you know, look at. I mean, they renewed Modern Family and Goldberg's for 2 seasons for each of those. So.
Yeah, and
they clearly are confident about comedy, so
yeah, that whole lineup is canceled because Dr. Ken got canceled as well.
Right,
The Real Nails is canceled, which I wasn't surprised by.
Fresh Off the Boat wasn't. I mean, they still have Blackish, Fresh Off the Boat, like
yeah, and
they have a lot of comedies, so yeah, maybe they just were maybe too many.
Probably a safe bet for like regular TV right now. You know, it's not something that, you know, with dramas,
kind of surprising in that it's ending, not that it was canceled, but ABC renewed Scandal for one final season. Like, you look at Grey's Anatomy, and Grey's Anatomy just keeps on going. I just assume Scandal would be the same way.
Yeah, that is interesting. And then I see Quantico is not, they don't know yet?
Yeah, that's a show, I think that's a show that needs to be canceled.
It's also that kind of style, you know? So it's interesting that this, you know, I mean, How to Get Away with Murder is still there, but after this season, you know, it'll just be Grey's Anatomy and How I Met Your Mother, or How to Get Away with Murder.
Very confusing mix-up.
That are, you know, the, what, what's her name? Shonda Rhimes' shows, so... That's interesting.
And I mean, this could happen in the as we're recording, but I'm surprised that Fox hasn't officially canceled Scream Queens.
Huh. Yeah, that's an interesting show. I really like it, but
yeah, it's kind of like Scream on MTV, where like they renewed that, but they're just rebooting the entire show. So I think to them, the Scream brand is more important. Imaginary Mary has been canceled. So, yeah, pretty much their entire Tuesday has been canceled, except for, I think, what is it? Fresh Off the Boat, and and The Middle.
Well, no one likes Tuesday anyway.
Well, Tuesday is the fresh night. I mean, it's a great show.
Well, yeah, duh. Because I've totally watched at least zero episodes of Flash.
You're a terrible nerd.
Season one is really good.
Oh, yeah, season three. We'll do our post-ops on this season of comic book shows in a few weeks. I'm sure there's a couple of words for season three of The Flash. One of them is not great.
One of them from me is it exists. And I know about it. Because that's all I know about it.
Well, you got plenty of time. They're all on Netflix.
It's nothing against the show. It's not like I'm like holding a grudge out against The Flash. Like, I'm not watching that show because, he wears red.
Well, no, I think you have a grudge against The Flash because he wears red. That seems oddly specific.
Well, it does, but I don't know. I don't have a grudge out. I kind of forget it exists, and usually when I'm at home and I just want background noise, I have The Office on, so. Yes. I also have a baby, and she likes watching Lord of the Rings, so.
I'm sure it's the baby that likes watching Lord of the Rings. Next thing you're going to tell me, she also enjoys watching Star Wars.
How did you know that? She asks for it, actually. She was watching The Dark Knight rather intently the other day.
I'm sure that's how it went. So anything else before we wrap up this segment?
No.
Okay. So that's kind of the broad picture. I mean, maybe we'll do something else, a follow-up, or most of that. I don't even want to say I'm going to write on the site. That doesn't happen ever. But yeah, I'm always like, this is the first half. The second half is next week when they kind of reconfigure the schedules and see what moves and what's the half season, what's the mid-season replacement. My biggest hope is that either Fox or the CW are smart enough to finally move Gotham and Supergirl away from each other. I hate the fact that they're on at the same time.
I think it's just unavoidable to have some sort of conflict in terms of...
you have too many DC TV shows in general. They're going to start conflicting with each other.
They are, but I don't know if either one of you watch Gotham. I don't know how Gotham remains at 8 p.m. Gotham is way too gory for 8 p.m.
Yeah, they should move it. I didn't know it was 8 p.m. I don't watch it live, but...
Yeah, some of that stuff, I'm like, I don't know how to keep on getting away with this for 3 years. I'm like, if I was the, I don't even know who it is for TV.
FCC?
It's not the FCC who does ratings.
I thought you meant for, censorship.
No, well, I mean, usually, people would complain, and then it's rated TV-MA or something, but...
People don't care about gore, they only care about language, which is weird, but...
They care about nudity, too.
Yeah.
They care
more
about that. Yeah. But yeah, moving Gotham to 9, or honestly speaking, I think Gotham and Lucifer do well enough, I don't want to jinx them, but I can see Fox moving into Friday because they're going to just maintain their audience and try to launch new shows on Monday nights. We'll see. Like I said, that's the interesting part. Okay, so it's now time to transform and roll out. So, yes, as I noted before, we're doing the Transformers films. One, because there's a new Transformers film coming out this year. The Last Night? Is that what it's called? So, yeah.
Hopefully it's the last movie.
Well, there was just a poster with Bumblebee in front of a Nazi thing, so...
Yeah, that made no sense to me.
Well, it's like I think the Transformers... Because The Last Knight is something to do with King Arthur, and, the Transformers have been in history, influencing history.
I get that, but that also doesn't make any sense, because... I mean, I guess we'll find out. We'll find out. In the first movie, it's kind of assumed that they came from space in the first movie.
Yep, we'll see.
Well, it's because, like, there's only so far that that can take you, and then you have to start doing an ancient alien sort of thing.
Which they already thought of, but I asked one with the... Actually, I think I
had dinosaurs.
Yeah, even before that, it wasn't the one from the... Oh, gosh, I can't remember. The one from 3 wasn't the enemy, the dark of the moon. Wasn't he, like, an ancient Decepticon that was hidden on the moon's surface or something like that?
Well, we'll get to that.
Okay. I haven't seen that one, but yeah, I'm sure you're right and wrong.
Yeah, you're the reason we're watching these movies or watching them for the first time.
Yeah. Yes, I am the reason. And darn tootin' proud of it.
So, yes, the year 2017. Wait, 2007. The director, Michael Bay.
10-year anniversary.
Yeah. Transformers. He's actually been pretty consistent at getting these out almost every 2 years, except for the gap between... No,
3 and 4.
No, I think pretty much every 2 years, because...
Nope.
Was it
no, it was 3 years between okay. 3 and 4.
Yeah, I know there's 1 year, and then I think now they're doing the spinoff, I think Bumblebee's next year.
Really?
Yeah, we'll see.
What is a solo Transformer movie going to be about? Like, him just doing his own thing? Like, driving around, honking his horn at people?
Well, I mean, one, if it's anything like the Transformers movies, let's not say solo Transformers movies, because these movies are more about the humans than the Transformers.
That's true.
I corrected, and I don't know if either one of you are paying attention, the Autobots do not show up until an hour into this movie.
Depends, yeah, it really is. Should be titled Shia LaBeouf and the Transformers. So.
Well, to be fair, Bumblebee technically shows up.
Well, yes, but Bumblebee doesn't really turn earlier. Into Bumblebee.
Okay, yeah. Well, yeah, okay. But he is there.
No, he's there. Like, and if you're a fan, you know that. But, like, if you're watching the movie, it's like the giant robots that you came to see don't really show up until, like, an hour into the movie. And then even when they show That's up, true. They don't become the focus until the climax.
Yeah.
Well, because, I guess the theory is, why do you need them in the rest of the movie if they're not going to be fighting each other anyway? You save them for the climax.
Well,
you know?
It's called Transformers. It's not called Shia LaBeouf and his robot friends.
Well, that was just an error in marketing, and they just went with it. So.
But no, I get your point. I get your point that you need a point of view character. And it's not like Transformers aren't used to having humans around. Even the original shows had human, you know, companions. I don't want to say companions. That makes it sound like pets. But human allies.
Well, they basically are. Like imagine, like, the consciousness of the Transformers and Autobots, and it's like, yeah, humans are kind of like pets. They, well, you know?
Well, I think
they could just destroy them all. It's like an ant farm.
Well, they do kind... I think they mention, like, them being... Like, the Decepticons mention that. Though, I have to say, and this is something that gets worse as the series goes on, I don't like how they sometimes... The personalities they subscribe to the Transformers. Because there's, like, one scene in here where, like, the Transformer pisses on a dude.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, okay.
I'll say this. I was pleasantly surprised with how much I enjoyed this movie. It reminded me a lot of the Power Rangers movie that just came out. And I mean, there's clear, like, they watched this movie and were like, how do we do this for Power Rangers? Because, like, there's, you know, there's definitely dated stuff.
Very dated stuff.
Yeah, like the Xbox 360 and a lot of talk about eBay and PayPal, which are still around, but, you know, if it was today, I'm sure in the new movie they're going to talk about Snapchat and Instagram, but...
They're probably not even Instagram.
And this is a minor thing just because of the time frame, but it's always so interesting watching the movies from this era, because it's, like, everybody's, like, state-of-the-art phones, and it's just, like, the iPhone's, like, so... Like, the iPhone's just months away from being released. It's like, it changes what you think of a phone as.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, the thing that dated it more for me was, and it's sad that you kind of miss him now, but like they had not George W. Bush as the president in this movie.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, right, that was the thing. I'm like, this instantly dates it. But outside of that, I would say that I enjoyed it too, but not as much as I remembered. Because I remember actually really liking this film. And now it's just kind of, like I said, the Autobots don't really have much of a role in here. And this is a problem that we're going to see throughout the entire franchise. Or did Decepticons look the same to me?
Yeah, I mean, that's part of the thing about, you know, the similarities to Power Rangers is, you know, they have just the over-designed art style of the robots, you know? It's, like, hard to differentiate them. Yeah, especially the Decepticons, the transforming. I just, you know, it happens too fast. Like, they're called Transformers. That should be, you know, it was cool that, like, in Power Rangers, they did the original theme song. Like, that, I don't know, they could have done, I mean, they put the last line of the movie, or one of the close to last lines is, you know, humans are more than meets the eye. It's kind of funny, but could have been a little more fan service. It was like Michael Bay purposely trying to, you know, make it serious and stuff.
Well, that's the thing, though. Was he trying to make it serious? It seemed like he was kind of, again, like I said, we haven't seen, because it's full of a ton of comedy. Most of the characters in here are comic relief characters. Anthony Anderson's character is comic relief. Bumblebee, you know, he speaks through the radio, is comic relief. The scene with the scientist who they strip is comic relief. The parents are kind of comic relief.
No, it's actually a pretty funny movie. Like, there's definitely some jokes that fall flat, like the, you know, the peeing joke.
It's hard to make that funny.
Like, the ladies' man ID 672 joke, and like, but you know, Shia LaBeouf was, I thought, really good in it. Megan Fox was like not given anything to do. It looks worse now.
She was given a lot to do if you're Michael Bay. Like,
yeah,
I like the part where she's fixing the car and all you see.
Yeah, I think that's probably one of the most memorable scenes.
In the movie, yes.
Yeah.
In all of cinema.
Like, he's not even being subtle about it. He's just like, yeah.
Well, yeah, that's why I said, like, even before I watched it again, that's honestly probably, besides the scene of Megatron ripping What's-His-Face in half, that's probably the only scene I remember. And, like, a boat or something. Like, from not from watching it again, from not having seen it in, like, almost 10 years.
Well, what I remembered and also didn't remember when I was watching this is how big of a focus, like, that military unit got.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I couldn't help but think of similarities between Transformers and Fast and Furious.
To the Tyrese.
Well, no, I mean, just because, like, you know, I think in the new one, Tyrese and him are back, and I don't know, just, like, I just see a lot of similarities there, and it's interesting that Fast and Furious, like, I think they went in opposite directions. Like, at some point, Fast and Furious just, like, zoomed past it. I need to look at the side-by-side of when the box offices and releases happened, but it is interesting that, you know, because it Transformers was huge. We may, it's kind of like a joke now, but it was like,
oh no, it's not a
usually
joke.
The movie of the summer that made the most money, right?
Yeah, they are huge movies. I mean, this one only made, and I'm saying only, it made over $700 million worldwide, and I think the 3 and 4 are over $1 billion apiece. These are huge movies, and I will say this much, and this is something you'll hear me repeat, and part of the reason I've never seen any of them beyond this one at home. To me, these are perfect movie-going experiences. I hate using the term perfect. But he crafts a movie that you need to see on the big screen with a proper sound system and all this other stuff, because it's a larger-than-life spectacle, which is why you go to the movies. The problem with that, again, kind of speaking to the Decepticons, is a lot of that stuff does not carry over when you watch it at home on a much tinier screen. Because the picture does not have much room to breathe.
Yeah, you lose a lot of the detail and a lot of the spectacle, and they just don't look as big when they're on a tinier TV. When they're against the, you know, when they're against the wall and it's the entire giant wall, like you said, it's like a movie-going experience, not so much a movie, these Transformers.
I mean, this one I would grade as a very decent movie. It has a beginning, middle, and end.
Yeah, it's a good popcorn movie. Like, it's not bad.
And even though I complain about the fact that the Autobots don't show up until an hour into the movie, it's not like it's badgy pace. Like, the when they show up makes sense. Like, you need some type of backstory. You can't just have them show up and be like, we're here. It's just that, you know, again, for a film called Trent, it's like, I was going to say, it's like if you had a Batman movie where he doesn't show up, but that happens.
Oh, yeah, that does happen.
But yeah, it's fun. What else stood out to me? Like I said, I mean, I guess harping on this again is I just did not remember there being so many different human factions in this. Because you have Shia LaBeouf and his story. You have the army group. You have the Secretary of Defense. You have the hackers. Right.
And I thought they bring them together, like, they do relatively well.
They bring them together, but there's a lot of them at first, just all kind of separated.
Yeah. Well, I think they clearly spent a lot of money on the robot CG, and they had to minimize the number of scenes with them, so they filled it with the humans. That's my guess. And they were worried about people relating to robots, and they wanted people, more human actors and stuff.
That also makes sense. I mean, it is a lot easier to relate to a human character than a giant robot that transforms into a truck. But, you know, sometimes I feel like I've been hit by a truck, but...
And this is probably better served before, but I'll share the story now. I had an experience like that, because I actually went to the world premiere of 4 in New York, and it was my first red carpet experience, and I'm like, I was so excited for it and everything, and then people started walking down, and I'm like, it's really weird when you think about it, because I have no idea what any of the voices look like, so I don't know who I'm supposed to be like, oh my gosh, it's him. Like, it had other people in it, like Mark Wahlberg and stuff. Like, I'm like, I don't know who Optimus is. I don't know who Bumblebee is. I don't know who any of these people are supposed to be. So, like, there's people walking around. I'm like, oh, okay. I guess they're famous.
It's like they're sitting next to you, and you're just like, hey, you joined this movie? They're like, I'm in it. It's like, oh, okay.
But to be fair, I mean, they did get the original Optimus Prime guy who did the voice in the animated movies too.
I still don't know what he looks like.
Sure, but it's like, you know, it's still, I think that was a good move. And
I think he still does. No, did he pass away finally? Or,
well, he's still alive.
Around, yeah.
So, you know, that was, I think that was a good fan move, and he's a really good Optimus. I mean, I still have problems with, like, Optimus Prime's face in the movie.
Throwing punches.
I like the shield, and I don't like when it, like, is just, I don't like how their mouths are. Like,
face.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. And this is not on Michael Bay. This is more on Transformers in general. I hate the fact that the Autobots are all cars, and then the Decepticons get all these cool vehicles.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Autobots are trying to, and I've been doing this in air quotes, you can't see, trying to blend in more. Decepticons don't care, because they're just there to, you know, mess with people and kill them. But the Autobots were more trying to be like, well, let's find a way to actually, like, blend in a bit.
Says the guy in a giant blue and red truck with flames in front. That really is inconspicuous.
Earl, yeah, I'm doing air quotes. I know you can't see it, but...
But no, like, I was like, oh, okay, the Decepticons got a tank, they got a jet, the Autobots are all cars. Okay, yes, Optimus is a truck. But they're still cars. I'm like, one of you couldn't fly? Not one of you?
I think that's, but, like, yeah, I mean, that's a problem with Transformers. I mean, yeah, it's the same problem in, like, Beast Wars, and it's a consistent problem.
Yeah, it's like the villains get the cool stuff and the heroes are kind of aim.
I think partially it, like, makes it when the heroes win, it's, you know, especially for kids, it's like, man, the you know, the Autobots won even though they don't have any planes, you know?
Yeah, it's like overcoming, like, obstacles and, I don't know, trying to make it so that kids, like, cars instead of...
I mean, at the end of the day, remember, this is based on a series that's meant to sell toys. I don't think they really did a good job of, like...
Selling
toys based on these movies, but, you know...
Well, yeah, because you try making a Transformer with that much detail...
I know.
Making it cost $5.
For the amount of money these movies made, they really didn't have... kind of hate this word, but much cultural impact in terms of the peripheral stuff, like, you know, the way Star Wars does.
Well, I was going to say...
That's true.
It's a weird one, because it's one of those franchises that has... it's kind of like Ninja Turtles, and that Ninja Turtles has always kind of existed. But I don't think you can point to anything beyond the first cartoon that has any cultural impact. And it's the same thing with Transformers. Like, it's always going to be part of...
And Power Rangers.
Well, Power Rangers, the first movie, was actually really big.
But that first, ever since, you know, yeah, the original...
Serious, yeah.
People left, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, like, you look at Twitch Presents, and a lot of people didn't know the Power Rangers is still in the air.
Right.
But, yeah, it's... And I think that would be a fascinating show to do one day, because there are...
At the same time, there's been Transformers shows.
There are Transformers shows.
A lot. There's a lot of them.
I think there's one now.
They're still making them, so... Exactly. So it's not like...
But that's what I mean, though. It's the same thing with, like... And this isn't the same, because actually Ninja Turtles, the new cartoon's actually pretty big. Or, I guess, the current... I don't know, because it's officially... It's canceled, but there's a new one starting soon. But yeah, it's like Ninja Turtles is up there, Power Rangers. G.I. Joe's, I think, another one. But G.I. Joe, I think, has never crossed over into that... That super mainstream, and I think it's just because our generation doesn't worship war heroes as much. But that's a discussion for another day.
Actually, one thing I do want to comment on, it's not bad, but there was a lot of military stuff in this movie. I mean, it's like, this came out in 2007, kind of like the Iraq and Afghanistan war was still going very strong, and, you know, I think part of the reason there were so many human characters and factions is they wanted to show that the humans could, they didn't need the robots, like, they helped, they were, like, allies, but it wasn't, like, America can, you know, they could have done it themselves, or...
Yeah, I can see that. And it's
awesome. It was just a little weird, it was a little bit,
Michael Bay is very patriotic as well in his movies. But yeah, again, that's what I was talking about with, like, the army squad. It's not that they weren't needed, but they're given a lot of the focus. I think they are given, like, the first major action sequence as well, when they take out that desert lizard snake scorpion robot thingy.
Yeah.
And they're a big part of the climax. which I will be honest with you, I kind of don't remember because I think I kind of fell asleep during it. And we'll get to this. And again, I complain about the Autobots not showing up until an hour in. I will tell you, with the fourth one, from what I remember, I'm going to complain about the fact that the robots are in the movie the entire time. It's so exhausting.
And I think we should probably also mention there was, you know, this will be something that comes up again when we talk about later movies, but there was some kind of insensitive jokes. Like, it's not, I'm not like the most, you know, I hate this word, PC, but, you know, there was some, you know, jokes about the guy speaking Spanish, and there was the, you know, some jokes with Bernie Mac that were a little bit...
Yeah, and the next one...
Tasteless.
The next one's even worse. We'll get to it on the next one, but...
That reminds me of a complaint I had. The OU Autobot who dies in this film is the stand-in for a black dude. It's not even subtle. The guy's name is Jazz.
And he, talks.
Yeah, he talks like a jive cat. But yes, he's the only Autobot who dies in the entire film. I mean, god damn it. You have to kill one Autobot. It had to be the black dude.
Well, at least it was like a cool death. Like, he got ripped in half. But I guess that's also like a bad death because of how cool it was. You know? I don't know.
I mean, there definitely some cool stuff in there. Like, I love the scene where, like, the Autobot is, like, skating down the highway and then, like, goes through the bus.
Yeah.
And there was some cool stuff with Optimus. Like, there was some of the robot stuff was really cool.
My favorite thing with Optimus is actually the part where he does this stealth sequence where he's hiding underneath the bridge. Because you have this giant robot hiding from helicopters. Like, sure, I'll go with it. It works, I guess. But
should have just hid under a cardboard box.
And the stuff with the family was pretty funny.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they get kind of annoying in the second and third ones. Like, I had that feeling. But in this first one, they were... I didn't mind the... You know, I liked Shia. I liked Megan. I liked all the main humans. Like, they probably didn't even need the hackers, honestly. And they could have cut down a lot, but I think the main characters were pretty good.
Yeah, I guess, and everybody does, everybody handles their role. And unlike most other movies, I can actually buy, maybe not Megan Fox as much, but I can actually buy Shia LaBeouf as a high school student. I think partially just because I knew he was coming off like Even Stevens and he wasn't that much older.
No, I mean, he does not seem like he would be out of place in high school. I mean, they were definitely going for, like, the nerdy... They kind of went a little far with that.
Actually, I don't know what he was. Because he wasn't, like, super smart. He wasn't, like, a con man. He was... Yeah, I don't know. He was a loudmouth, I guess. I don't even know what happened to his friend.
Yeah, his friend disappears pretty quick. He ditches him. He tells him to walk home and then never see him again.
He never gets home. He gets kidnapped.
He got stepped on by a Decepticon.
Yep.
Probably. You never know with giant robots. And my other, another scene I really liked was the scene when they were in, Megan Fox characters insulting Bumblebee. And he kicks him out the car and they think he's driving off without them. And he goes around and he transforms into his, I guess, more popular form.
Yeah. That part felt... To me, I mean, it was a little bit too much marketing for the new Camaro, but I like the scene, but that was a huge part of the movie was in the marketing leading up to the movie was selling the car, you know, and I think that's, you know, to be fair, that's like kind of what always with Transformers did. I mean, not specific cars really like that, like specific dealer cars. But that's definitely a thing in the movies, the live action movies, is there's always one car that they're like trying to sell, basically. which isn't, you know, I understand, like, they'd probably get help for the budget to do that, but it's a little bit weird.
Yeah, but I mean, as far as that goes, you know, at least it makes more sense than some shameless plugs that I've seen in other movies. Like, the one that comes to mind is Jurassic World, with, you know, with all the much more blatant marketing, and
it's not bad,
at least it's also kind of part of the character, you know, it makes some sense in a way.
Yeah, I mean, I like the joke about, you know, the original the Beetle, because originally Bumblebee is a Beetle, a Volkswagen Beetle, and I liked how the Beetle was, you know, Bernie Mac tried to sell him the Beetle, and, you know, that was funny, but.
Yeah, it's some good humor, some good action. It's, like I said, it's a long movie. I think it's like 2 hours and 20 minutes or something like that. But it doesn't necessarily feel that way. Again, I don't want to play my hand too. And I honestly, maybe I changed my mind on the other three when I rewatched them. I just know by the fourth one, I'm just like, I need this movie to end. I'm so bad, G. I was going to say the fourth one has questionable stuff. They all have questionable stuff in it. I don't know why Michael Bay's humor is kind of sexual in nature.
Yeah, it's like so close to being really good. Like, it just has some weird stuff in it, but, like, you know, the action's good. A lot of the characters are good. It's just, like, some minor things that bugged me, but for, like, a summer blockbuster, it's really not bad at all. And I think I like it better. I think I liked it at the time, but then over the years, probably partially because of the sequels, I've looked negatively upon this movie, and I think I appreciate it more now that we watched it.
Yeah, I like I said, I think I'm the opposite of you. I think because of the sequels, I glamorized how much I really like this movie, and I still do like it. But I just remembered, like, always saying, like, I only like the first one, and I'm like, okay, it's not as great as I remembered it, but it's still really fun and good. And I, like I said, I do think it's because the sequels, I don't even want to say progressively get worse, because I think 3 is better than 2, but again, and this is talking about something I haven't seen in, what, 8 years, maybe?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how, what our thoughts are on the second one.
And beyond.
That's what I remember being the worst, but we'll see.
Any final thoughts, Scott?
No. All I can say is I'm also looking forward to watching the second. I think the second one, I think I only saw 1 and 2, maybe part of 3, but did not see 4. I'm looking forward to actually seeing these.
I don't want to spoil it. Is 2 or 3 the one with Robot Heaven?
I don't know. Is Robot Heaven? Oh, great.
I think that's 3.
Okay.
Pretty sure. Anyways, we'll see.
We'll see. So yes, that was our Transformers and TV talk. Fingers crossed, up until Transformers last night, we hope to have this week. Even if it's not a full podcast, I do want to talk about the Transformers films, just because I'm going to try to force myself to watch one every weekend. So there's that. As always, you can find us at nerdsontherocks.com. You can find us on Twitter at nerdsontherock. Well, okay, Twitter, Facebook, and Google Plus, because everybody loves the Google Plus. You can find us at nerdsontherock.
Who doesn't?
If you want to follow us personally on the Twitter space, you can find Dan at Gazelle, GAZELE87. You can find Scott at Scott_@_night.
Yeah, I still have the underscores. Haven't gotten rid of them yet.
Nope. It's the underscores and the at in the middle that makes it really awkward to say, because you're saying @_@.
But I would, you know, I'd hate if you changed it because it's sort of a running joke at this point.
This is true.
And you can find me at @er_notr. So yes, for Scott, Dan the Third, and myself, this has been the Amazingly Average show for Transformers 1 and the fall, the, wow, the TV upfront to 2017-2018. We'll catch you next time.